welcome back to the new Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM The Shaw. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We've got Robert Miranda back on the airways, and don't worry if we don't get everything in. Now I'm going to have Robert on again and again and again and again, and however long it takes until this issue is addressed and fixed. And I also want you guys to know, in the suburban communities, you know, many of the suburban communities are facing the same thing. This is a national crisis. As you know, Vice President Kamala Harris, who came to town at the end of January to talk about this $1 trillion. Let me ask you, Robert, this just makes no sense whatsoever that our government knows the impact that this is having on its citizens, and especially the most vulnerable children. You know, we talked about the fact that children aren't learning and all the other things that are going on. At the root of a lot of that is the lead exposure.
Correct. Yep. And I'm not just saying that lead in water is a serious issue that needs to be addressed. Yes, lead in paint is a serious issue. Lead in dust and lead in soil, those are all very serious issues. Lead is a very toxic, very dangerous neurotoxin that affects the minds of our children, especially children under 6 years old. And it has to be addressed. It has to be dealt with because it impacts their IQ levels. It impacts their ability to reason. It impacts their ability to comprehend. We believe that a lot of the science and a lot of the research and studies linking the crime levels in cities rising because of the ingestion of lead into the bodies of many of the people in these cities, communities, is tied to the poisoning that they have suffered from lead when they were kids. And so in dealing with this matter, effectively and more efficiently, we could start seeing a lot of the crime waves in these cities being reduced. There are numerous studies out there that indicate that this can happen. There is one study that was done back in the 1930s, 1940s in Massachusetts, where they removed lead pipes from that from a town in that area, and crime in that area reduced significantly. So there is evidence that shows if we can remove this toxin from our community, we won't see crime stop. You're not going to ever see crime stop, but at least we could see crime reducing by a huge percentage. And, you know, the government in not dealing with this very effectively and efficiently is failing our community, and it's failing public health. And usually what the government tries to do is they try to say, well, that's not our problem because all these lead pipes are on the private side of the house. Well, that's also another lie. That's also another false that they're putting out there. If community leaders would take the time and research how those lead pipes got into their homes in the first place, they will find more often than not that back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, these lead pipes were actually mandated by government to be used. Here in Milwaukee, for example, back in the 1870s, 1872, to be more exact, it was mandated by the city government that lead pipes will be used to connect from the main to the inside of the house. So this really is a government-created problem, and government needs to clean this up. And, you know, for them to put this whole thing on homeowners saying it's your responsibility to remove these lead pipes, well, in fact, it is half true what they say. The pipes that are inside the house that are servicing the home with water should be removed, and should be something that the homeowner should clean out from their house. But those pipes that are connecting from the water main to the inside of the house that are lead, that is something that the government must address and remove. And I'm glad that the Biden administration has seen the light on this and is looking to address this. But, you know, it's got to be more of a state, more of a county, more of a city coordinated effort to remove these pipes. And I point to Newark, New Jersey, as a model of how this can happen. Newark, New Jersey, in the last couple of years, in 2 years, frankly, removed 22,000 pipes. 22,000 pipes.
So how many pipes are we talking about in the city of Milwaukee?
Milwaukee has to have at least 70 to 75,000 pipes removed.
Well, New Jersey is it that much smaller than the city of Milwaukee, or the fact that they have already begun, or they have really zeroed in on this? I'm looking at an article, Robert, in 19. Milwaukee Water has been in compliance with EPA rules for lead since 1996. In 1991, the U.S. EPA introduced the lead and copper rule to regulate lead and copper in drinking water. In compliance with this rule and under the direction of the EPA and Wisconsin DNR, Milwaukee Water Works implemented corrosion control in 1996 to reduce lead and copper in tap water. So,
That's the orthophosphate that they introduced in 1996.
Okay.
Which was really supposed to be a kind of
admission, but that's really an admission that this was a problem. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been doing that, right?
Exactly. They've known that this problem has been going on for many, many years, but they have always skirted the issue by telling people that the big problem in Milwaukee is the lead paint, and the government. Actually, I can see why the government kept pointing the lead paint, because
cheaper.
Well, it's not that it's cheaper, but the government entered, the city of Milwaukee government entered into a lawsuit against the lead paint industry. And so in order for the city of Milwaukee to win that lawsuit, they couldn't give the lead paint industry information about the fact that they have all these lead pipes poisoning the community too, because it would weaken their case to hold the lead paint industry responsible for the toxic poisoning of the community. And the city of Milwaukee was seeking over, I think it was like about $100 million in that lawsuit. And that lawsuit is still going on in various forms today. And so any time that the city starts admitting that, yes, we have a more big of a problem than has been said in the past about lead and water, it weakens the lawsuit against the lead paint industry.
And so, you know, Robert, the other part of this, because we got to go to a quick break, is the lead paint industry is not tone deaf. They are not going to take the sole burden of the lawsuit when they themselves are aware that, you know, part of this lead poisoning is through the water too.
Exactly, and that's the point. They're not saying they're not responsible. They're just saying they're not going to take 100% of the crime. So, you know, it's a matter of getting the nonsense and the lies exposed, peeling this like an onion, and forcing the government to do the right thing and do it immediately.
But Robert, this is not going to be easy. It is a battle that you and others are waging, and people who think that this may just, you know, you snap your finger and it's going to happen, are not really understanding the financial implications of what this can really be. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. On the air, my good friend Robert Miranda of FLAC. You two can join in the conversation. We'll be right back.